I want to talk a little bit about something that maybe some of you are kind of interested in. It's not directly related to investing, although I'm going to give you somewhat of an investment tie-in. So therefore, I think that it's a pretty good lesson in investments that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. I can guarantee you're not going to hear anywhere else in the world. So many of you, especially those of you who live in the so-called developed or advanced world, right? And those are typically the traditionally Caucasian nations, America, Canada, Europe, Australia, although Australia, I guess, is not really in the West, but it is, I guess, considered part of the Western world. England, can't forget England, right? They don't consider themselves Europe. So many of you in the Western world, let's say, or advanced world, probably over the past few years have been thinking about getting the hell out of your country for one of many reasons. Many of you probably are disgusted by all the things that have been going on with the banks and so forth. You kind of see the control. And maybe some of you have kind of bought into the whole gimmick, the whole con game of all the doomsday guys out there listening to their bullshit. Of course, and I haven't talked about this yet. I've actually done a video and a write-up on it, haven't released it yet, on one of these characters who's actually makes a living shifting back and forth between talking about how bad America is and then on the other hand publishing, you know, a relocation to a tropical paradise or someplace in Latin America, right? This is how these con men work, you see. They scare the hell out of you, tell you America's doomed, and then they promote all these places to live, the developing world, third world, second world, and tell you how great it is, tell you how affordable it is. Anyway, so of course I did mention, and I'm not talking about Doug Casey, because I did mention Doug Casey before and his clowns, how they want to tell you how, you know, America, you got to avoid America. Remember he was telling you in 2012, avoid America, the collapse, it's coming. The best place is to avoid the collapse in America is to go to Argentina. Of course, Argentina defaulted on their debt in 2014, facing big economic problems over there. Anyway, so here's the point I wanted to make, or the first point anyway. Those of you who are looking to leave your country, and I'll tell you, I mean, I've been looking myself for a few years doing the research, and it's very difficult. Anyone who says they've got a solution for you, one of these guys who's been trying to con people, I guess he's probably conned a lot of people through misinformation and not providing the service and or product that was promised, not including all the information, pertinent information. Jeff Berwick, another one of these clowns, has no financial experience at all. He's just a fucking copy editing moron. He's a chump, okay? But you see, he's aligned himself with the gold doomsday Bitcoin bullshit syndicate, crime syndicate. And so he gets all this promo and so forth. It's the buddy system, you see. Of course, he's been promoting his bullshit in Acapulco and Chile and all this crap. But he's also been selling all these, I don't know, some types of international passports. And there's all kinds of problems with that. Folks, there's no easy way. The bottom line is this. You want to get a passport to Antigua or one of these places, St. Kitts, right? You just having $400,000 to buy real estate, to buy a property there, is not sufficient. If you're not very wealthy, forget it. Forget it. Why do I say that? Because at any point in time, the U.S. government could clamp down on these couple of places, St. Kitts and another place, I forget what it's called, where you essentially make a purchase for real estate about $400,000 and you get a passport. No taxes, all this stuff. Sounds great. But what good is that passport if you can't get in anywhere with it, right? Well, currently, I guess you can get in places, but at any point in time, the U.S. government, because these islands are basically shells, There's really not a whole lot going on there. That's why they're selling their passports. The U.S. government can say, listen, now you guys, you, people with your passports, passport holders of your country, don't get into America, or they make it very difficult, right? Because, of course, U.S. government's going after all these tax evaders and all these people who want to hide their assets, money laundering, and so forth. So it would be normal, natural for them to suspect people who trade in their passport for one in St. Kitts, right? So the bottom line is this, you got to have a lot of money. You got to have a lot of money because you need to have flexibility to navigate. Bottom line, what am I trying to say? Well, you're pretty much stuck with your own passport. Okay, now, of course, there's exceptions. I was mainly referring to the U.S. If you are in Europe, obviously you can get passports in other European countries, but that doesn't really help you much now, does it? Right? So the second best thing is what? And I can tell you, listen, if I'm not getting another passport, then there's no way to get one unless you are very wealthy. And if you're very wealthy, chances are you're a fucking criminal. I mean, what criminal wants to leave the country where they defrauded people? Got money illegally. Well, the reason why they would want to, of course, is because they want to not pay taxes and so forth. But anyway, the point is that you can pretty much forget about getting another passport for a variety of reasons, not to mention the fact that with all the problems in the U.S., the U.S. passport is arguably the most powerful, the strongest passport in the world, right? And of course, in close second and third and fourth, you've got passports of the UK, Germany, and so forth, right? And what I mean by the strongest passports, you can go anywhere you want. Go anywhere you want, get the quickest turnaround time for approval, okay? People don't mess with you as much, right? That's just the reality. But, so aside from the whole passport deal, a lot of people realize that eventually they come to the conclusion they can't get a new passport. So what do? They look for places to retire. They want to get out of their country, right? So I really wanted to address this as the initial point. Get all these guys out there living in the Philippines, living in many places around the world. Latin America, right? Panama, Belize, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, you name it. Many in Mexico, right? You've got a lot in Southeast Asia besides the Philippines. You've got some in Japan. Of course, that's more of an advanced nation, but some in Japan. You've got a lot in Thailand. You've got maybe some in Cambodia. Not a whole lot in Vietnam, I don't think, because they don't really have they don't provide long-term visas there. I guess the only way you can get one is if you secure an English teaching job and you continue to have that job over and over again. So there's really not a security to stay there a long time. But looking at nations that have kind of a very flexible visa system that enables people from the West specifically to relocate there and stay there for an extended period of time. I forgot Costa Rica, of course. So, if you look around, of course, now with YouTube, they've got the AdSense. So, what do you got? You got all these guys. And you go to one of these countries, you better already have money. Some of these countries, you're forbidden from working, or it's very difficult to get a work permit, right? Or you just can't work because you don't know the language, right? So, it's very difficult for individuals who move to the Philippines or who move to Costa Rica or Thailand or wherever to earn an income. So what are they doing? Well, they're making videos on YouTube, getting ad dollars and telling you that you can retire cheap in Asia, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that's simply not true. That statement is false. It's a fucking lie. Now, before we go forward with this, ask yourself, who's telling you this? Me, financial expert, one of the very top in the world, no question, versus some guy on YouTube who lives in the Philippines or wherever who wants to make money, right? Sell you his ebook or, make money through AdSense, right? Now, I think some of these people are maybe, they want to spread their optimism. They want validation for their decision by communicating their decision on YouTube, telling you how inexpensive it is. Many of these guys also, they just want to sell, right? They want the money. They want the ad dollars. They want you to believe this dream. So what I'm trying to say is I don't think that you've got a lot of these people that know it's just completely wrong. It's not true what they're saying. I think they're just a little bit ignorant, maybe a little bit overly optimistic. And here's the deal, folks. Once you adjust for everything, it's not really any cheaper to live in the Philippines or Thailand or Brazil or Costa Rica or anywhere else than it is in America. So now some of you are saying, well, hold on a second. Wait, that's not true. I've been to such and such. Oh, really? Here's the problem, folks. When you are a foreigner, your ability to gauge the local environment is pretty skewed. In other words, if you live in America, let's say, and you travel to Cleveland or Detroit or some other dilapidated city like Oakland, you're going to know it's a ghetto. You're going to know it's a dump. You're going to know you don't want to live there, right? But if you travel as a foreigner from America to the Philippines, you're going to look around and you're going to see pretty much, you know, things aren't so great looking, let's say, on the surface anyway, right? Such that you're not going to have that good of an ability to determine the ghetto areas from the non-ghetto areas. So you're going to be more willing to live in a situation that you don't think is lower class or whatever you want to call it, lower income, but it's actually going to be that way, right? Because you can appreciate that from your own native country. Your ability to spot those things is much more sensitive, right? Now, I'm not saying that you don't save on some things in some of these other countries, because you do. You do. But let me just go ahead and say, I've seen a lot of these videos, these people saying this and that. I have a pretty good idea what it costs to live in many of these countries. And I can go ahead and tell you right now, did you know that you can find one-bedroom apartments and even sometimes two-bedroom apartments in America for $200-$300 a month, $400 a month? Did you know that? And they're not necessarily in ghettos. There's many places in the Midwest, in the South. If you live in a big metropolitan area, a big city, of course, to get something like that, it's going to be ghetto. But my point is that if you are looking at a smaller town, right, in the Midwest, in the South, you can find places for $200 a month. I know for a fact you can. And they're not necessarily in the ghetto. You will find some that are in the ghetto, but there's many that are not. Okay? That's the first thing. So that kind of strikes down the myth that you can't find affordable places to live in the U.S. because you can. So, and I can tell you another thing as well. If you have, let's say, an upper middle class lifestyle in America and you want to live that same lifestyle in the Philippines or in Costa Rica or in Thailand or in one of these other places that people tend to go to relocate, you're going to pay a lot of money. Are you going to pay the same as in America? Maybe not. Probably not. You're going to pay maybe 10% less, maybe 15% less, maybe even 20% less overall. But are you going to get the same things? Are you going to have the same quality of infrastructure? Of course not. Of course not. What does that mean? You say, well, so what? What does that mean? Let's take a look at what that means. Well, if you're talking about retiring to those places, think about the road system. Think about the lack of sidewalks. Think about the overall safety problems and just walking down the street, right? And there are safety issues. You've got to be careful. You've got to be watching where you're looking, right? Think about that just as one example. Do you think that if you're 75 years old or 80 years old, that that would be an environment that would be a good place for you to maximize how long you live? Of course not. You understand what I'm saying? Point is, if you're thinking about retiring to one of these places, you better have your final phase exit strategy where you go back to your advanced nation if you want to maximize the number of years that you live before you depart from this world. Because if you think you're going to live in the Philippines as long as and stay alive as long as you would in America after age 70, you're delusional. You're not going to. I'm not even talking about the medical system, okay? I'm not even talking about the medical care. I won't even get into that. But clearly, the medical care is not going to be, overall, it's not going to be as good, okay? There's just no doubt about it. Now, there's definitely problems in the U.S. healthcare system. I wrote a book on it. I know about it. But at the same time, there's also big problems in the medical systems overseas. The big difference is that you get more bang for buck overseas. But when you're 75 or 80 and you require some type of complicated procedure or something, well, money's not really much of an issue, is it? You want the best. And the best isn't going to be overseas in some developing country. That's just a fact. End of story. Okay? So, another one of these arguments is, well, you know, the labor's cheap. You can have your own maid and this and that. So what? How much are you going to pay for a car? Right? These people that are living on these budgets overseas and they want to show you their expense account for the month, very rarely do they own a car. They ride mopeds, okay, or take the public transportation. And those two modes of transportation are dangerous. That's increasing the danger. Think about it. If you're 75 years old, you're going to be putt-putting around on a moped? Huh? You're going to be scooting around on a moped at 70, 75, 80 years old? You understand my point, folks. So without going into more of this situation, let me just go ahead and give you the investment learning point. It all comes down to a valuation method known as comparables, right? Now, that method is actually part of the, or somewhat the basis of the real estate, the main real estate valuation method, right? That's the main one that's used for residential real estate properties, and that is the market value method, right? That method relies upon comparables. It relies upon homes that are comparable, right? They have the same number of bedrooms. They have the same number of additional rooms, bathrooms. Is it full bathroom? Is it half bath? Similar square footage, right? So forth. And if they're not, if there's a disparity, then the price is adjusted. And this is the problem that these people overseas get into. They don't understand the concept of comparing things of equal value. They seem to think that their life in the Philippines or in Thailand or in Argentina is the same as their life was in America, despite the fact that they don't own a car, they have to rely on mopeds or these tuk-tuks or whatever taxis they have, these open taxis. They have to rely on an infrastructure that's not as safe, it's more dangerous. They have to rely on a system whereby, because of the lower regulatory hurdle for business activity and so forth, there could be problems. If you don't think that it's dangerous, potentially, walking down the street from a public safety standpoint in many of these countries, then you haven't been. Okay? So I'm just saying that when you're older, these become critical factors because your tendency to recover from even a minor injury can become very challenging the older you are. right? Now, of course, in many cases, the crime factor is big in America, right? That's a big thing. I don't think you have to deal with that so much in the developing world, other than, of course, the exception would be in many parts of Latin America, it's very dangerous. The Philippines, somewhat, I think Manila can be dangerous. I mean, you can be kidnapped in these places. If you are, especially if you're white and you come in, or even if you're Filipino-American, they assume you have money. You can get kidnapped easily. Don't think you can't, okay? Now, some of these other places, I think in Southeast Asia, are fairly safe from that standpoint. But all I'm saying is this. It's all about comparables. Don't think that there's some gravy train of living conditions, right, for a low amount of money. Things don't exist that way, folks. If they did, people would flock to those places and drive up the prices, and there would no longer be this disparity. You understand? That's how it works. That's basic economics, and that's coming from someone myself who never even took an economics course. But that's pretty much common sense, okay? So it's always about comparables. When you look at everything, you compare what you're getting for what you're paying. You're really not, there's really no bargains to be had. The only question is, do you need those extra things, right? More young people don't need them, right? More, the younger people don't really need those things as much. But when you get older, your health is more fragile, your ability to recover from injury is more, it's more difficult, right? So keep that in mind, okay? And in the future, I will be probably bringing up this topic more and more. And, you know, as an investment research analyst, I plan on making more trips overseas for investment research purposes. And so I'll get a better idea of these things. But I can tell you right now already, what I just told you about is pretty much true. If you don't agree, then I would like to suggest that you reconsider. Okay? If the Philippines was such a great bargain to retire, right? You could retire there on, you know, $1,200 a month and live comfortably. Why isn't everyone doing it? Right? Why isn't everyone doing it? Just remember, you can live comfortably in America on $1,200 a month. You can retire comfortably on that if you're frugal, if you're good with your money, okay? If you're good with your money, you can do it. You can even find one-bedroom apartments or studios, let's say, in some places for $300 a month. Or $400 a month with all utilities paid. I know this for a fact. You can. Maybe even lower some places, depending. It's all about where you want to live and how you want to live. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Okay? Because there's more and more. I wanted to just talk about this because more and more people are getting pretty frustrated with their country, their government, and everything, and they want to escape. I hear you. But don't think there's some bailout plan for you by moving to Costa Rica, okay? Just because you can afford to hire your own golf caddy. So what? How much is it going to cost you to buy a car, right? How much is it going to cost you for consumer electronics? Those things are typically very high. Imported goods are typically very high in developing countries. Did you know that? Even in Europe, it's much more costly to buy, well, it was before, at least a couple years ago. I don't know how it is now, but I know the iPhone and those things, much more costly in England, right? So Americans get a break, not only because many of these things are made in America, directly or indirectly, that is to say, you know, even though China makes, you know, 90% of the computers, China and Taiwan, you know, They basically come to HP and HP slaps their name on it, right? Or in the case of, let's say, even Samsung or whatever in South Korea, you've got licensing deals with U.S. companies that license out the technology. Bottom line is Americans get good prices on many, many, many consumer items because of volume purchases, okay? And those of you who live in Australia, okay, Americans don't know. You guys pay a lot of money for cars, all right? You pay, especially the luxury cars, the premium cars, BMW, right? Mercedes, you guys pay a lot of money for that. Americans, we don't pay as much, nearly as much, right? So you've got to really sit down and think about this stuff. Don't just think just because you can live in some other country for such and such amount of money that it's an equal trade. You've got to factor in everything. It's all about comparables. The same thing with investments, right? Investment analysis, the comparables approach to valuation, right? And that's when you're basically comparing two different investments. You're looking at different investment metrics, and you're seeing if the metrics are equivalent or similar. And if they're not, you have to make adjustments, you see. Anyway, that's all I have to say about this today.